Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Off. That's right. For all you people that pay money to listen to podcasts, because you guys are better people than the people that don't pay us money. That's right. It's that simple.
Actually, I disagree. I think they just want you to get a tattoo.
Don't tell anyone that I said that. all our pay members, that's a secret between us. Okay, guys? And if you weren't paying and you just got in, you can't be mad because now you're paying and that's how you heard this. So, assuming I don't put it in the clip to promote the show. But I'm joined as always by, the, I don't know, like nerd litmus test. I don't know what Karen's job is here. She just shows up. I never invite her. Nope. I just start recording and Karen's like, let me know when you're going to start. And she's already here. So, hey, Karen, how you doing?
Good. Where the hell else am I going to go?
I don't know, man. That's but, right. You know, everybody can go check her show out, Lip Smacking Good, where she talks to people about food. And I don't say anything. But apparently that doesn't work the other way. And nope. I have
I give you medium talk, sir. You got medium talk all to yourself.
And I got two other guests. And they were on the show last week. So I said, you guys did such a good job.
Yes, they did.
I got to invite you guys back. And of course, that is Aaron Rand Freeman, co-host and producer and
director,
right hand man,
doctor, fixer upper.
You know the.
I think my official title is Doug Stamper. If you watch House of Cards, that's my title.
Okay, Doug Stamper. I have not seen that series yet, but I hear good things. I need to check that.
Yes.
It's Aaron Rand Freeman, man. What's up, dog?
And nothing much, just the playing Too Much Injustice, all over with you. I put about 8 hours in yesterday on my day off, and I shouldn't have. And now I'm here, well, and I'm hungover from it.
Wow, I actually need to get that game.
It's very, very good.
Yeah, Toys R Us really screwed me on that.
Yes, they did.
They put out a online coupon that you could buy the game for like half price in the store, or they would ship it to the store. No store in Charlotte had a copy in the Xbox version, just the PlayStation. So I was like, oh, really? And it's Charlotte, North Carolina, not, you know, New Cumberland County, Michigan. Like, yeah, we had 17 Toys R Us, and all of them were like, nah, dog. And one of them even let me order it. And then when I hit the checkout button, it was like, come on, player. You know where I got that. So make sure you check out Aaron. Just go to This Week in Blackness or twib.me, I believe. And, or you know, just put in Twib. He's on all the Twib shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just waiting for him to show up on one of the video segments of This Week in Blackness, the iTunes version that Eli records by himself. I'm waiting for it to pan over to Aaron, and he's just, like, in the corner, like, mm-hmm. Doing work. But and then we, of course, the other person we have, one of my favorite people on the earth, it's my man Chris from the Insanity Check podcast. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up going on, people?
Chilling, man, chilling. Last time I checked with you, you were getting into speaking of internet dating and yes. Hollering at them OK Cupid bras, man. Everything yeah. good with that?
No, everything's not okay with that. Oh. Man, that impromptu show on Thursday, man, me and Kev poured our hearts out, man. That shit was, the funny thing about that was that so many other people were like, yo, that happened to me too.
Yeah, I've never actually heard a podcast about guys having issues with the online dating sites. It's always ladies like, oh, I'm so tired of these men. You know, they just want sex. And I've never seen guys be like, man, I came back. The account was gone.
That's the thing that hit me about it. It's like, wow, I just realized that there's never non-savage dudes talking about trying to do online dating. It's always the dude like, yo, let me tell you about this broad I just hit up from OkCupid that I just fucked last night. It's like, no, okay. I'm actually trying to see, I'm trying to meet people, you know?
Right.
Trying to be normal, non-savage dude. No, never happens, yo.
Yeah.
I like the human classification, non-savage. I think I'm going to start using that.
Savage has quickly become my favorite word to use in 2013 because it really separates normal people from others.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, it does.
A lot of people spend a lot of time campaigning against savages, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it now. You're not mad at regular people. No normal person would do this.
That's right. And I agree with you, Chris. Hurt people.
Mm-hmm. They do, yo. They do, man. I like I said, I had a little rant like Thursday morning. And I realized that It was because that chick, like, disabled her account, man. I just realized. I was hurt.
And I'd also like to point out, for Nerd Podcast, everybody on this podcast has been outside today. Aaron was talking about the oppressive heat earlier.
Yeah, outside is stupid.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I heard you talking about going to boot camp.
Boot camp? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, he had to go get his ass kicked, get in shape, because he's going to be fighting again. That's right, he fights. And I went and played basketball this morning, and Karen went out with me to get Chinese food. So everybody's been outside. I hate to break those stereotypes, but let's get into some podcasting, because I have a lot of things I want to talk about. The first thing is the sci-fi movie is officially back.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that all these sci-fi movies I'm seeing are like the best movies on the earth, but there was a drought of science fiction for a few years there. Somewhere between Aliens to 2013. This year has opened up with a couple strong science fiction movies, whether, you know, I don't know that the logic of the universes are the best and all this shit, but just big budget actors doing science fiction. And I gotta say, I'm appreciative of it, and I'm glad it's back, man.
Me too.
Even if people are gonna turn around and be like, I don't like these movies, I just like that we're getting sci-fi, because as a kid, that was one of my favorite genres of movies, and we weren't getting enough. So I went and saw After Earth yesterday with Karen, and that was the thing. After I left the movie, my first thing was just like, man, I just saw Will Smith do a science fiction movie.
Right.
So the first things first, man, talking about After Earth, I'm not gonna spoil anything, so people that are scared, don't worry about it. We're not gonna spoil anything, I promise. But I saw the movie. Karen, what'd you think about it, as far as, like, if you were rating it 0 to 10, what would you give it?
About a 7 or 8.
Yeah. I for me, it was like about a 7, you know, 6, 7, something like that. Obviously, add 2 points for Black fatherhood. I support Black fatherhood on screen, and especially since it's not corny. Like, race doesn't even come up in the movie.
Mm-mm.
So, and I kind of like that, where it's just like, here's a family that happens to be Black. Deal with it, America. And I was into this shit, man. So I get home from this 6 or 7 movie, and I look, the first thing I do is go to Rotten Tomatoes, because I felt like this movie had a lot working against it, agenda-wise. And I see 12%. 12? For comparison's sakes, people, Red Tails has 39%.
Are you serious?
Yes. If you haven't even seen this movie, if you saw the 2-minute trailer of After Earth, if that's all you've seen, you already know it's better than Red Tails. So I started reading some of the blurbs for these critics, quote unquote, and like, a lot of the stuff with the critics now is just completely about, like, how snarky I can be in my opening paragraph to get you to click on this.
So true.
And I'm reading some of the excerpts, and this stuff, like, another vanity project for the son of Will Smith or something like that. I'm like, come on, man. Is that what we're calling these movies? Because he actually did good in Karate Kid.
Yes, he did.
And I bought him as a overwhelmed 15-year-old in After Earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, Rod? I hate to cut you off, but
yeah.
You brought this up, like, I think yesterday. I think people have forgotten. Like, he is actually, like, how old is he? Like, 15?
Yeah, yeah. I'll look it up for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's 15.
He's around that age.
Yeah, I think people forget that he's actually a kid playing a kid.
Yes.
And he's not a young adult playing.
He's not 21, he's 22.
He's 14 years old.
I actually heard one of the reviews said, Jaden Smith lacks gravitas. I was like, yes, he does. He's, in fact, a kid. No 14-year-old has gravitas.
Right. Right.
It's like, you know, Andrew. For comparison, Andrew Garfield, who plays Peter Parker in New Spider-Man, I believe he's like 30.
Mm-hmm.
So playing you have a 14-year-old playing a 14-year-old versus a 30-year-old playing like a 17, 18-year-old. You can't compare those two. And when it comes to 14-year-olds who can act, James Smith is far and above most of these motherfucking kids.
Right.
Like, yes. We're never going to talk about the kid that played Aang in
Avatar.
In the Last Airbender. Mm. Holy shit, that kid is bad.
Very.
You know?
Or don't forget Anakin Skywalker.
That's bullshit too.
Oh my god. Oh no. Oh wait, you're not even talking about him. The little kid.
Yeah, I'm talking about the little kid. Yeah.
Terrible.
Acting was terrible.
But yeah, that was the thing that I noticed, because on Twitter, I said that I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed black fatherhood and I enjoyed black nepotism. It was both things are lacking in Hollywood.
Yes,
and
it is.
I enjoyed two good representations of both. And Elon actually hit me up and was like, sir, like, I, you know, obviously he didn't like the movie or whatever, or he didn't like Jaden Smith. And my main point was like, I'm not defending Jaden Smith as this great Oscar worthy performance, but he behaved exactly like a 15-year-old behaves. Like,
yep.
Emotionally, that was what his range was, a 15-year-old emotion. It was, of course, all over the place as far as wildly ridiculous and whatnot.
That's how children function at that age.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, the story isn't a coming of age manhood story.
No.
It's a, like, at the end of it, is he's still a child. It's kind of like, it's actually a becoming a child story, kind of like he's tried to be a man, he's trying to do all this shit to impress his father, but he's still a fucking kid. And that's how I felt. And I felt overwhelmed when he was overwhelmed and all this shit. But like, the most important thing is, if they would have had, say, one of my favorite actors, Michael B. Jordan, do the role, I feel like he would have been a better character. I would have like understood his emotions better. He would have got through the character arc. It probably would have ended with him being like, now I'm a man and we can respect each other, father. But it would have also kind of been like, he's not a 15-year-old.
Ain't that, you know, the truth?
Like, you know what's the craziest part? When you look at a dude and go, yo, you only 14.
And you look 14.
Like, you look at his body and just go, you're a fucking 14-year-old. You walk like a 14-year-old. You know, like, you're wearing a skin tight suit thing. So it's like, no way to hide that you're 14. They're not putting a big ass baggy coat on you.
Nope.
And I don't know, man. I tremendously enjoyed it. And most importantly, I enjoyed all the fatherhood moments. So, all the shit where, like, they got me a couple times. My jaw tightened up. You know, it was a couple, couple Will Smith tear moments. So I was like, you tell him, Will. He can be somebody just like my daddy taught me. Like, that shit was, that shit got a little real. So anyway, people, if you're thinking about seeing a good science fiction movie, I suggest you go see it. I think it still is flawed. And as you heard, like Karen said, it's a 7 or 8. I think it's a 6 or 7 movie.
And y'all know, Roger said, I love everything. So for me not to give it a 10, you know something wrong.
Yeah. So nobody get, you know, out of control here. But,
you know, I haven't seen it yet. Kev saw it and he said also, and I noticed this too, when we were doling out who was going to what screen or whatnot, it's also only 88 minutes.
Yeah, yes.
So it's a short very short film. And so when I see the review, I was reading the reviews and I was just like, I don't believe you all. I really believe that you all are, and I think I told you guys this before the show started, I was like, I called this the Todd Perry syndrome, mm-hmm. where people hate, they hate M. Night, so no matter what film M. Night does from now on, they're always going to be bad. Like, he can't recover at all.
Yeah.
And then with Will Smith and Jaden Smith and the Smith family as a whole, there's a certain bias that comes, or you either like Will Smith or you don't fucking like them. Like, and I see that a lot with a lot of the reviews of this. And they don't, it's a little bit of racism, but I can't really prove it. But right. I feel like I know, it's a little bit. It's a lot of racism behind the fact that. Yeah,
I was gonna say, a movie starring two black people directed by an Indian fellow? Yeah.
That's right.
It's not even about just this movie. I'm talking about in general. Like, people don't like the fact that the Smith family, the entire Smith family, is basically rich white people with black skin that do whatever the fuck they want. Oh, we want to make this movie because we can and we got money.
Yeah.
You know, we want to let our kids do this because they can't. We're going to put our kids on because you motherfuckers put your kids on in every fucking movie and it's okay. Mm-hmm. So put our kids, like, they do that and they get blasted for it, where another movie that opened this weekend, I think, Now You See Me, isn't that James Franco's brother?
Yeah.
Nobody says anything about, well, this is James Franco's brother. He's not as good.
Well, there's a lot of Hollywood nepotism. Like, you can pretty much pick any star and it's going to be like, oh yeah, well, that's actually, That's actually Michael Spielberg's niece, or not Michael Spielberg, but Steven Spielberg's niece, or that guy there. He's actually the brother of Ryan Reynolds, or you know, like no one goes, well, how the fuck does Emilio Estevez get in a movie with Charlie Sheen? You know, like no one says that shit, but somehow when we get to black people, it's time for nepotism to stop, and that shit pissed me off so bad. And that's one of the reasons I support the movie, because the critics I was reading, very few actually said something about the movie. It was like a lot of like, this is Jay, like you can start with like almost every review was M. Night Shyamalan, Jaden Smith, M. Night Shyamalan with Jaden Smith. Like a couple were like, well, the pacing was, kind of off. And I'm like, you know what? That's a legit criticism. But when we start the whole like, well, M. Night continues his trend downward, it's like, okay, actually, this is more about your bigger bias.
Someone called Jaden Smith too scrawny in the review. Like, that's relevant.
Right.
But he's 14.
Like, the entire point of the fucking movie is, look at a 14-year-old try to do what a fucking Space Marine Ranger Army guy does. Like, that's the whole point. It's like, his dad, super fucking badass. He's 14 and wants to be just like his dad. It's hard. That's it. That should be the title of the movie. It's hard. It's real, real hard.
To be like my dad.
Yeah. Like, that's it, man. I don't know.
You know what it's like? It's like a real, I want to be like Mike commercial, where instead of like trying to be like Mike and actually dunking and hitting the game winning shot, you don't dunk. You get dunked on. You get the
ball. Yes.
You break your own ankle. You know, it's just like, dog, it's not a movie, yo. It's,
yes. That's it, dude. And the thing is, like I said, I'm not advocating for this movie to be like some flawless masterpiece. Mm-mm. Fans like it at a 61% clip. That's about right. 6 out of 10. It's about a 6 out of 10. It's a passable movie as far as that. And if you have any black nepotism, black fatherhood bias like I do, then you probably gonna feel like it's about an 8 out of 10, you know. But I don't know how you guys get into that.
You know what it is, though? And it's a bigger issue that, and this is why I've been trying to do, like, I'm glad we do reviews, like all of us, because I feel like there gets to a point where some critics just need to stop making movies. And I hate the fact that they're actually preferred critics, like on things like Rotten Tomatoes, because you'll read the review and the review has will be a paragraph about the movie, and the rest of it is just like, how much I hate Jaden Smith. It's like, that's not a movie review. It's the main reason why I won't go to watch Tyler Perry movies, because I know I don't like Tyler Perry. So if he's directing or writing a movie, I won't review it.
Yeah.
You know, and if I do, I'll tell you right up front, this is for jokes. When we did the review for Alice Cross, we killed it. And we talked about Tyler Perry, but then we also went into every other thing that was wrong with that movie, saying that, listen, I'm not a Tyler Perry fan, and he has a problem with this movie, but there are a lot of other issues outside of Tyler Perry with this movie. Right. And then we listen them all out. People don't fucking do that. They sit there like, you'll see it with comic book movie reviews. Oh, wow, this is a comic book movie. I don't like comic book movies. They shouldn't make comic book movies. That's why I don't like this film. That's not a critical review of the movie.
Right.
You know? So Superman, he has a cape. What man has a cape? Superman does, because he's fucking Superman, you dumbass. I saw there was an early reaction to Man of Steel, and one person was mad about it because they were like, they don't have enough Lois Lane in here for her to do. I'm like, because Lois Lane, nobody goes to a Superman movie for Lois Lane. Lois Lane is the white chick that gets saved by Superman every fucking time because she is a damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. If she doesn't have a major role in the movie, it's okay because nobody gives a shit about Lois Lane.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just, that kind of shit just pisses me off when it comes to reviewing. If you're going to review, review.
Well, also, I feel like critics are getting more acclaim for snark than being substantive. So it's not like I feel like when I was growing up, I used to dig critics by, oh, my opinion jives the most with this guy, so he watched this thing and he enjoyed it, there's a good chance I'll enjoy it. And now I think people are like, oh, this guy had the best line about why Jaden Smith doesn't deserve to be in a movie.
Yeah, and to me that's irrelevant to, like I was saying, to the movie. And The biggest issue that I have, which is some of the issues that Chris have, is that majority of the people that review films are older white dudes who don't like a lot of fucking movies.
Well, now even, well, that's true. But now there's even like just young snarky white dudes. Like it's,
oh yeah,
the like the hipster dudes. Reporter type thing where it's like, oh, Jaden Smith is, you know, like his face is stupid or whatever. And like, yeah, I don't think you should be like, you should save that for a podcaster. Yes. That doesn't deserve to be printed.
No, it doesn't. And I think for me, a lot of the people that actually listens to the reviews are predominantly white. So they're talking to a predominantly white base. And so
I'm looking at the faces because everyone has to have a picture on Rotten Tomatoes, and I don't see anyone of color or
rarely do you see
them. I don't even see a woman,
and and that makes sense too, because it's one of those things it's one of those things where majority of their fan base is predominantly white. A lot of times since they're predominantly white, they can say things that are underlying border racist to people of color,
Well, one guy says, characters are emotionally neutered. The average viewer won't care about them. And I'm like, I don't know that that's true, but then two, like, why wouldn't they care about them? I mean, compared to other movies or whatever. And then, another, like, look at this. This is Jean Kaplan. This lady is just, it's kind of like just snark. I suppose we should be grateful that there isn't a half-buried Statue of Liberty or an empty, deteriorated football stadium. That's not a review.
That's rude.
Right.
but it sounds like she doesn't like sci-fi movies, because that sounds like it's a jab at Planet of the Apes and Oblivion or any of the other kind of, you know, apocalyptic sci-fi movies. Well, ma'am, if you don't like those kind of, like, you don't want to know why you almost never see Chris review a romantic comedy movie? Because I don't fucking like romantic comedy.
Nope.
Yeah. Wait, I got to agree some more of these, dog. All the neat visuals on Earth can't cover up. This is a movie Will Smith is hoping will make Jaden a star.
What does that have to do with the movie? He is hoping his son becomes a star because he can.
Right. It's like, I saw through this. This is not real. It's a movie. And you actually tried to entertain me and do movie shit. I'm a good critic. I figured it out.
Right.
Oh, God.
Why did you show up, people?
You know what? And I'm sorry. I actually do know why critics do this, because we're working with Allied Press, and we have press credentials as bloggers to do reviews. And I figured it out. A lot of these people, what happened is when these screeners come out, they're trying to go out to as many of us as possible, even if they don't want to see it and to review it, because either they're getting paid for the reviews, that's their job, or they're trying to get as many reviews out as possible so they can make the requirements for whatever association they're with, or to get more recognition or things like that. So it's not even about, like, for me, when Kev hits us up on like a Friday, he's like, listen, we got these movies coming out, which ones do you guys want to see? I'm like, you know what? I'll go see that. I really want to see that. That looks interesting. We'll do that. Oh, no, man. I don't want to see that bullshit. No, I don't want, you know, I'm not into that. And that's how we go about it. Mm. We won't go to see movies if we don't really want to see it.
Yeah, that's the truth.
But they'll go, like these other reviewers, they'll go, yeah, I didn't really want to see it, but I did it anyway. And you hear them talking, you know, in front. I'll be sitting in the press row and hear them talking. Yeah, I'm not really here looking for this movie. I'm like, then why are you fucking here? You're already, I can tell right now, you're already going to hate this movie.
Yeah. A lot of critics do it, or this is the one that everyone's going to see, so we got to review that. I would much rather them see movies they want to see and then give me an evaluation of that than,
Well, motherfucker, guess what? I don't like those kind of fucking movies. So you go watch that bullshit. I'll watch this. Stay out of my fucking genre of movies.
Yeah. I just don't like the political aspect of it, where it's like, well, what does this movie really mean? Well, it really means they're trying to see if Jaden Smith is box office bank. It's like, wait a minute, man. Was the movie good?
Aaron, I don't know if you said you saw it. What was that movie that came out? It looked like it was like Call of Duty the movie last year.
Medal of Honor, Medal of Valor,
Act of Valor. Yeah,
Act of Valor. There you go.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah,
I saw it too.
How was it? It was Call of Duty. It was Call of Duty Tastic. Why do you ask?
Right, that's how I felt. I felt
because
I watched all. I felt like I watched all the cutscenes of Call of Duty. without the messy, sloppy gameplay that between it.
Nobody was spawning.
I actually like that better than playing Call of Duty.
No, I want to watch it, but when it came out, even before it came out, I could have told you that it was going to get crap. It's trash. Why? Because, you know, look, the liberal Hollywood thinking of, oh, wow, this is a military movie, so they're just trying to recruit you for the military, so this movie is bad. And so almost every bad review about it talked about how this is bad because it's just telling us about violence and video, making the military look like it's something fun. It's like, listen, it's a fucking movie. It's a goddamn movie.
Also, and those movies are way less effective at recruiting, in my opinion, than any other type of movie because they too often show the bad shit.
Yes, they do.
Like, it's called Act of Valor because, like, does people understand a Medal of Valor or Act of Valor means you, something really fucked up happened. It's the only way to get it. There's no Act of Valor for, like, hey, man, clean run.
There was a scene in that movie where there was a dude hiding in a closet with a rocket launcher. Now, if that is not some bullshit, I don't know how you get anyone to sign up for the military if there's a possibility of a dude sitting in a closet with a rocket launcher waiting for you to walk by.
Sign me up, buddy.
Right. I was scared as shit. Like, when I watched that and when I watched the last 20 minutes of the Osama bin Laden movie. What movie was that?
Zero Dark 30.
Yeah. Both of those, I went, these motherfuckers are made of sterner stuff than me. There's no way. Dude, I would be in that house like a scary movie. Like, what was that? Hold up, dog. Don't go in there. Turn on the lights. If you're like, we can't turn on the lights, man. It's a co-op mission. Turn on the fucking lights. I can't see shit. I'm not going in there. Like, you know, I'm knocking on the door like, Osama, is that you, man? Can you come out here for a second, man? Look, dude, I don't want to get shot. You don't want to get shot. But
nah,
like,
ain't no negotiating, baby.
In the movies, you know, these guys go into shit confident because that's the only way to do it. And then they get their fucking faces blown off. And Hollywood writes the, hey, man, they're trying to recruit you. It's like, no, they're not. That's the best recruiting movies are the ones where they're like, Bruce Willis used to be an Army Ranger. Right. Now he just killed 70 people and only took one bullet to the arm. It's like, that's a good recruiting movie.
He goes through the whole entire movie with a flesh wound.
Right.
Yo. Yes.
I'm like, wait, my army trainer is going to stick with me till I'm fucking 70?
The army teaches you to jump a plane, jump a car, and do a helicopter and destroy it. If you need to.
Handgun
ammo.
Ah! And then you actually got kicked out of the Rangers because you were too awesome. Like, you didn't like authority.
Yeah,
so imagine you stayed.
Yeah, I was jumping through After Earth and it wouldn't shit close near that.
Oh God, so. Karen was so scared.
No, so you ain't
Act
of Valor. No, I'm good.
But and there's the other thing that bothers me with this movie, and this is becoming a trend, and I feel like this is the latest in American ignorance and religious ignorance. Can everybody stop calling any science fiction movie with a Scientologist dude in it Scientology propaganda?
Yep.
Oh God. Yeah.
Next person that says that, you got to name 10 things about Scientology that I don't know. That's the next thing. Like, and I need you to verify everything. You can no longer say that because people are just, it's like, did you enjoy Oblivion? I actually thought it was pretty good. Yeah, man. Was it, you know, cause there's a lot of Scientology in it. What?
Really?
what does that have to do with the movie?
There's a lot of science fiction in it.
Yes, it is.
But you stop calling science fiction Scientology. It's just not the same.
No, it's not.
If you do say it, don't be irresponsible, slander those people's religions. Fucking tell me exactly why. Because everybody that I ask, because people keep saying this shit to me on Twitter, I'm like, okay, tell me what about it? Well, it's about like, you know, well, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, they have science in their name.
Right.
It's science,
that's close enough.
And science fiction. See
right.
what I'm saying?
They believe in science fiction, brother. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You know, the funny thing about Scientology is, like, out of all the religions, they're actually, when you think about it, the least offensive, because they don't really try to force that shit on nobody else, yo.
They're the, honestly, sorry for all my Christian people listening, please don't stop paying, but they're the coolest religion.
Right, they are.
If that shit makes you Tom Cruise and Will Smith, and John Travolta, sign me the fuck up, man. That's some cool shit to be.
Can I also ask this too? Have we ever confirmed that Will Smith is actually?
It's not confirmed.
None of them.
It's all rumors.
I didn't think so. I didn't think. Because that's the only thing too that pisses me off about this is, it's like, all the other celebrities who are Scientologists, they come out there and openly admit it, and they're fine with it. Will Smith and them have never said anything about it. We just assume because they haven't answered the question
right.
that they are. And I'm like, fuck you. If that's what you're saying to me, fuck you. I don't know. Because that's not... Fuck, who? They're not trying to force their religion on anybody else.
Right.
They don't even mention it. They just go out there and he does his own shit. They do their own shit.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck does it matter if they don't... Well, they might. They donated money to a Scientology school. So?
And we'll get into some of the themes in Bioshock, but this attack on Scientology and the supposed Hollywood stars that are in it. By the way, you ever notice there's no middling Hollywood Scientologists, only the big names? Okay.
It seems to be the impossible white man or religion, like their official religion. That's not a bad place to be. That's not a bad religion to have.
Yeah, but there's no like I don't know, the guy who played Angel is a Scientologist rumors. It's always like it's Will Smith. You know, maybe Bruce Willis might be one. Maybe it's like.
It's basically all the cool white people and Will Smith right. in Hollywood. And like you said, if that's what it is, sign me the fuck up.
Right.
Because that's Christians cool got, like, the Westboro Baptist Church motherfuckers. I'll take Scientologists. Right. Day.
Once you stop being successful, you're not in it. So it's like, you know, Ryan Reynolds is a. Ooh, well, I just saw the returns for Safe House.
I think they put him out the club.
Yeah, at the Safe House. I think he's back to Christian.
That's what makes it so cool. It's like, it's a cool ass religion because they're just like, nah, you can only. You, it's really a pay to play. And once you can't pay no more, I'm sorry, sorry, Tom. We can't have you out here claiming Scientology anymore.
So this article on IGN was talking about like is it Scientology and all this shit. They and I'm like, okay, finally someone's gonna say why this is supposed to be a Scientology propaganda movie, and they basically just say that people are saying it's a Scientology like, and then they have one passage about well. They talk a lot about controlling your mind and not being fearful, and that's a big tenet of Scientology. I'm like, that's religion. No, that's religion. Yeah. Period. All religion is you're gonna die. Here's what's gonna happen to you. So calm down. That's all of it.
Yeah, but a super Buddhist would also be an impossible white man, as it goes. So it doesn't really make a difference.
Dude, I was like that. I was just like, you guys didn't teach me shit. Like, you just went to go. Really, this article should just be titled, "Is Will Smith a Scientologist?" We don't know, but he's doing a sci-fi movie.
Well, and the thing about it too is a little bit of bias. And again, I joke Scientology all the time. I mean, everybody knows from my podcast, Kev.
Well, you kind of, let's be honest, you joke all religion.
Yeah, I do all religion, but the last time we talked about it, because Kev, he went to New York, and he actually went to the Church of Scientology and took the personality test and everything. But, like, why is it that if a movie like this has Scientology overtones, religious overtones, not saying it does or not, but let's say it does, how come it has to be pointed out when another movie does it and has Christian overtones in it? And we don't point it out then. We don't go like, well, yes, see, this movie was talking about, it's just Christian propaganda.
Right.
No. And if it does do that, people get mad and then like, oh, dude, what? Why are you being a bigot against Christians? I wish they would stop.
Yeah,
like,
this doesn't have anything to do with Battlefield Earth or Oblivion. That's the other thing, too. If all these movies are on Scientology, why are they so goddamn different?
Right.
Like, wouldn't some of these movies, wouldn't I be like, is this what, part two of Oblivion?
Right. Like what made Battlefield Earth bad was that it was a bad movie, not that it was Scientology.
Yes.
You
know? I don't know, man. They just got to stop this shit, man. And also, the people promoting it, I feel like it's some sort of bigotness in there. I don't know what the exact label is, but there's some sort of bigoted, like passive-aggressive, ha-ha, Scientology, like, to their articles. That's all I'm saying. All right, and then let's talk about the quick news hits, okay? We got some nerdy news shit to talk about. Number one, EA is finally, is eliminating the online pass on existing games, not just the future games, but if you buy a, like, old used copy of Madden, no more paying $10 to activate the online portion of that game. It's just straight up free to play now.
Wow. That's good. That's good. I have no idea how many copies of Madden. I've seen people literally pick up a copy of Madden, a used copy of Madden in GameStop, and be like, and put it back down. And I've seen at least 50 people do it.
Mm-hmm.
So at least now they're treating us like humans. Good. Yeah. Excellent.
I think they just count on the fact that sometimes you forget. That's it. Like, cause that's what got me like 2 years ago. I got Madden and I was like putting it in. I was like, oh yeah, used copy of Madden. I might get this just for the Brett Favre, cover. Or maybe it was Donovan McNabb or something. I was like, I love Donovan McNabb. I'll get it for the McNabb cover. Pressed it, put it in. It's like, you want to pay $10 so you can play online? I was like, oh yeah, that's right. It's $10 plus what I just spent. So.
Yep. And it make people reconsider.
I don't know if they realize it. I got a copy of Battlefield 3 and sent it back.
Yeah.
I forgot about it. I was like, oh right, they need 10 more. Well, so much for this. Put it right back in my bag and return it the next day, 10 o'clock. I'm way out.
Here's another thing that last week was, you know, we discussed the Xbox One and how they were going to regulate used games and stuff like that. And, I believe Chris pointed out that, well, Sony's probably just going to do the same shit. But since it's not announced right now, it's kind of like time to be mad at Xbox. Yeah, Sony PlayStation is supposed to regulate used games like Xbox One, according to reports. So,
like, I'm sorry, but anybody who thought that Sony was going to do something different than what Microsoft was going to do, you were a fucking moron.
I saw some people
go, nah, man. See, Sony's just going to wait and see, they'll do something different and they'll get all the money. I'm like, no, they're not. It's like, not going to fucking do that shit. Because here's the thing, they're going to regulate used games. What are you going to do? Not buy a PS4? Not buy an Xbox One? No, you're going to buy one. And you're not going to like it. You're going to be mad about it. If they're going to buy one. So.
Yeah, I really don't think either company's trying to upset the market that much by being too innovative. It's kind of sad, but it's kind of cool. They're just selling us the internet now. Like, just different ways to use the data that it comes into your house. It's not just about video games anymore. And
video games is the least thing, honestly.
And then also, like, it feels like, and I'm sure it's not this way, but it really feels like they're just going like, you know what? Don't say anything for a week. Let Xbox catch hell. And then once it's died down, we go, oh yeah, we're probably gonna do that too. And then walk away from the mic.
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't been following it, but I gotta be honest. It's like, to me, what I need to hear out of Sony, when they come and do this reveal on the 14th or whatever, during E3, whatever the fuck, I need to hear something almost similar to what Microsoft did, where it's like, dude, I have a community on Xbox. I have people I play with. I have a system that I'm dealing with. Like, that's what I have with my Xbox.
Yeah.
What is PS4 going to do? You can't just be like, well, we play. Like, they had a little, tried to do a little shout out. Microsoft go, yeah, we're going to show our system, and yeah, we'll show you games. I'm like, dude, if all you have for the PS4 is games, you'll get a lot of good press for right now, but in the future, nobody's going to give a shit. Because that's not the future of gaming consoles. It's not games.
Yeah.
It really isn't. It's everything it really, that comes around. It's the experience.
Yeah, Xbox, it really has become the friend system.
Yeah, yeah, because.
And that's, I feel like all of them are trying to do that now.
Yeah, because Xbox is my friend. I know you yell at it like a kid going, Xbox, but Xbox responds to me, and I have an app called a Crunchy Roll, which sounds like a delicious roll that I would order at Sushi 101. But it's a app that plays anime that's actually fucking awesome. So yeah. I do that and Netflix. It's like all these other things that are, HBO Go, you know, Fox, you know, it's like now all of the local stations honestly are starting to have it where if you log in, like you log into your network, you can actually watch stuff like you can on your TV. So it's like, if you're not showing people something that's beyond just gaming, you're gonna lose.
You know what it is, and I just thought of this while you were talking, and I think everybody will agree with this. Until there is a huge disparity between good games and bad games,
yeah,
there it won't matter as much as it should which console has the best games. Like, I understand that Uncharted is like one of the best game franchises of all time. All my friends that have PlayStation 4s. Swear by it. I've never even been moved to be like, well, my boy has a PlayStation, I'm gonna just go to his house and play it, just because it's like, man, I got more games than I can play on my Xbox already. Right. And I feel like everyone's in the same boat of, man, I'd love to play the shit you're into, but I'm into this shit. You know?
And it's okay.
So I don't know that the next console war is even gonna be won with games.
It can't be.
And I feel like, you know, as gamers, a lot of us just don't want to hear that. It's like hearing bad news. Yeah. Even if, you know, even if you agree, it's like, man, really? Like, that sucks. Like, you guys don't care about games being the number one fucking thing on your game, PlayStation, Xbox thing? And they're like, no, we don't.
You know what I care? That it already comes with the Kinect and I don't have to go spend an extra $150 and that I could do Skype now and that I could do Facebook and I could do Twitter and I could do Google Plus and I could do all these other great things that are non-game related. I know that sounds bad for people to love video games, but that's the truth. You're sending an entertainment system.
Yeah, hold on a second. Aaron, you were going to say something. Go ahead and then Chris.
No, I was just thinking that, by the end of the day, I think, ironically, the PlayStation 4 is gonna wind up being, like, a super version of the Xbox 360, while the Xbox One is probably gonna leapfrog everyone. I'm thinking about it, cause even though I have an emotional response, Microsoft themselves, they're poised to kinda give us the future. Like, they're well ahead. They're right. So far ahead of Sony that they are, like, as much as I feel about it, like, you're right. They are poised to take our living room and give us the future of entertainment, as they say. And it's just, yeah, you know, it's, I can't argue.
Yeah, Chris, what were you going to say?
No, I mean, he's right. I mean, Sony seemed to be playing catch up, and it seems like they didn't learn from losing. I mean, I hate to say, I feel like they lost to Xbox 360 a little bit because all they did was, we have a better system, technically wise. We have a better system. It has better graphics, has a Blu-ray player, has all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, then why does everybody talk about going on Xbox Live and playing and not, hey, I might hop on PlayStation Network and play with my friends? It's like, because you guys didn't understand that aspect. And I feel like they're doing it now. But yeah. The crazy thing to me about gamers, what Karen was saying about how gamers are talking about how, well, I just wanted to play games, it really reminds me, as a computer person, of people being like, oh, I just want my computer to play to check email.
Right, okay, right, yeah, right, right.
I just want my phone to make phone calls. It's like, I used to be that person, and then I realized, I was like, well, that's not the future. I mean, that's great if that's all you want to do, but that's not the future.
But you know what's crazy, though, Chris? All the games are good.
Right.
All the fucking, I played Bioshock from fucking, I don't know, 6 years ago. I don't know when the fuck this came out.
2007.
I played a Bioshock from 2007 the last week, right?
Right.
That shit is still good. Like, this is insane. If by the time I was like ready to get a Dreamcast, when I was looking at my fucking Sega, I wasn't like, I went and played Sonic 1. It was still good. Like, no, there was a huge leap between to me, Sonic 1's fucking unplayable compared to like Sonic 2 and 3 or whatever. That's just not true anymore. Like, it's mind boggling. And I really think, that like Xbox is basically just being open about it. Mm-hmm. But, PlayStation, I feel like is doing a PR thing because they're like, well, we need to separate ourselves. And the best way to separate ourselves is not to say, we're gonna be also just like Xbox, but it's to be like, no, we're about games. We're about games first, and that's what matters. And people are like, what about used games? We're gonna be just like Xbox. But listen, first and foremost, we're about games.
And I'll
go ahead, Aaron. No, go ahead, Aaron.
I was gonna say, at the end of the day, the PlayStation, Sony's essentially this is a rehabilitation. Because they flubbed the dub so badly with the PlayStation 3 that they're essentially just going to give us basically everything that the Xbox 360 gave. Like, literally, they're going to play it so safe that they're just going to... It won't be a bad thing to buy a PlayStation 4, but it won't be... It just literally won't be taking the chance that the PlayStation 3 took and the Xbox One is taking now. So
yeah, that's a good point, man. Karen, you were going to say something. I'm sorry.
I was thinking, back onto what Chris was saying about having the mindset and the mind frame of... I only want, you know, my computer to do emails and all that stuff. I personally think a lot of it is generational. You know how the Wii is trapped into people's childhood? PlayStation is trapped into original gamers. People who gamed in our generation that didn't have access to the internet. You didn't really do friends. You invited people over to your house. And a lot of people are still stuck in that 1980s. Frame of mind when it comes to video games. And so PlayStation's like, we're going to get the people that are not really concerned about the social aspect of it. And Xbox was like, you know what? if the younger generation and the people that are willing to look at a computer and say, oh shit, I can do stuff outside of send email, y'all come over here, we'll create a community, you know, because it's one of those things where if you got an Xbox, I mean, a PlayStation, and if you don't have internet access, it's okay because most of those people play by themselves. You don't really see people hopping on. It's like you don't have that same community. And me and Roger talked about it. Roger's friend with some of his white friends had got a Xbox and they don't have internet access. It's like if you got an Xbox and you don't have internet access, you're wasting your money because most of the purpose of the games, most people buy games and don't even play single modes. They play multiplayers because it's like, my friends is on there. You know, I look and I see everybody's playing these video games. Like Roger was saying, that friend thing is real. When you go on there, you're like, well, shit, everybody's playing this.
The Xbox presentation reminded me exactly of how I felt about the Xbox 360 presentation. Except this time I don't feel that way anymore, but the way they presented it was the same. Like my mentality when I first heard about the Xbox 360 and what they wanted to do was, that's silly. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah. And a lot of people think of it.
Like, and you know, I had to eat my words, man. Like shit that I thought was stupid is no longer stupid. Like chatting with my friends in a fucking, hangout is no longer stupid to me. True. I thought it was the dumbest shit. I was like, that's what a message board is for, dumbass. I'm not spending $400 so I can, talk to some dude from Seattle for a half hour about Lord of the Rings. Fuck you. And next thing you know, I'm hopping in Aaron's chat room talking to 12 people about Lord of the Rings while playing, Transformers, multiplayer. They were right. You know what I mean? It didn't feel right. But they were right, man. The avatar things were like, and now you'll be able to like put clothes in your avatar. It's like, fuck you. I don't want to put clothes on my goddamn avatar. Like, okay. That is something for little kids. And then cut to like a month later, I'm like, Karen, what do you think about these shoes? Do these shoes with these jeans
for my avatar? I think I want to spend $129 on this. You know, and I think I want that poodle for $399.
Yeah, Bobcat jerseys and the avatar need that.
Oh, that's
when
hot.
When I beat Transformers Fall of Cybertron, they gave me a shirt, a High Moon Studio shirt. I said, what? I
put that shit on. Yes, every game needs that. When you beat a game, every single game should say, Avatar achievement unlocked, because if I beat a game and it says that, I'm like, let me go.
I got a hat.
What kind of hat? I can wear Optimus Prime's head as a helmet.
See, that's the thing, and that's why, I mean, last week it sounded like I was kind of trashing the Xbox One because I was like, I'm not going to get it now, blah, 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 blah. But I'm actually very excited for the future. I actually did this last week. I was talking about all the things that they could possibly do. And I don't know what happened on launch day. But after they had a time to actually work with this stuff, I mean, you can do things like, you got talking about the avatar thing. Imagine if you actually get into competition with your friends over, like, avatar achievements, and you can, like, trade back and forth, like, you know, you're the number one, you know, person in multiplayer for Call of Duty, so you get to have a golden gun for your avatar, and your friends, every time your friends beat you, they get the gold. You know, you can do cool things like that.
You know, play Kinect as your avatar, get your friend who's using Kinect as his avatar somewhere else. Like, that could be dope, man.
I mean, I was, I was talking about how the whole cable box thing, and I really wish that, you know, I think the thing with Xbox One being a cable, I'm not mad at Microsoft for doing that. I'm more mad at the cable providers because I don't think they're going to play ball.
Right, of course not.
Microsoft is trying to really unlock the full potential of that. Mm-hmm. But let's say you're using your Xbox One to watch something on cable, like files or something. I can watch something on cable while I'm in a chat room, like while I'm in a Xbox party, chatting with my friends who are on Skype, who are then also playing another game. It's like,
I'm waiting in, I'm 2015 when Microsoft is like, you know what you get for $100, $100 a year Xbox Live subscription? Cable TV. Fuck cable. Let's do this.
happen, dude.
I want that. I want from them.
Well, the other thing though, Chris, is, and this is how I feel, and this is going to be a weird analogy, but follow me. Waiting a year or 6 months or whatever after the release to get an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4 or whatever, is kind of like if when you watch a chick, like, play with herself before you fuck her. That's how I feel. Like, people are like, no, that means that you hate the Xbox and you don't want it the most. I'm like, no. I won't want it even better. I need to be teased first. I need to feel like, I want to be like, oh yeah, I'm going all in because I walked down at my boy's house and he was talking to his Xbox and that shit was immediately like, I gotta have one. You know, I look on my Xbox 360 friends list and I go to play a game and six of my friends got fucking Xbox One game and I can't play with them.
That's right.
You know, like, that's gonna make a difference.
Not only that, but imagine what, like, once it gets in the hands of actual real consumers, then it's gonna start coming in the modded Xbox, maybe not even mods, but just people doing cool things with their Xbox or with their Kinect. Like, you know, there's all kind of cool things you can do with your Kinect. And, like, you need to see what other people can do for it first.
Right, I just need to see it. Oh, I just need to be teased a little bit. You know, it's nothing personal against those guys, but, you know, it's like if your girl's going to do a little sexy strip tease first, you don't stop her. You go, yes, more, please. Thank you. I'll wait.
I think the future, like I said, I got way more excited about what Xbox One said than anything, you know, Sony has shown me so far. Not saying that Sony pulls a complete 180 and does something totally different and unexpected. But, you know, I'm like, wow, what Microsoft is trying to do here is what we want. Yeah. I don't want a cable box. I want to be able to get rid of my cable box and use my Xbox. The problem now is I can't do that because it's not Microsoft's fault. It's the cable company's fault.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to find out. I know right now you can get, like, ESPN on your box and shit. Like, we're going to definitely find out what the deal is with that because time is coming, and I think after E3 is when we're going to really see, like, hey, guys, this is our, like, this is how we sell these products. And I can't wait till E3 so we all can, like, really decide, like, yo, like, did you see that shit that PlayStation did? Did you see what Sony said they can do? Like, I can't wait, man. Real quick, cause I gotta move on to another topic. We could talk about this all day, really. Online retailers have listed, some placeholder numbers for Xbox and PlayStation 4. Keep in mind, this happens all the time. Like, I think, video games were listed at $99 the other week, and people were like, $99 for video games, that's actually a placeholder.
That's like when people, that's like when games are supposed to be released on New Year's Eve. Let's be serious, guys.
Right.
Let's be serious.
Right. So, the latest thing is they updated their placeholder from, it used to be like 999.99 euros to, Amazon UK is listing it at 599.99 euros for Xbox One. And, wait a minute. This thing is fucking backwards then. It looks like it's a little backwards because for some reason they also say that PlayStation 4 has it at $599.99, but then they have different amounts for what it would be US, and that can't be right. Some type of translation got fucked up there, but, and then Zavvy Online lists both consoles at $399, which is $607 US. So they're basically saying the range is between $912 to $607. But the real answer is, before anybody writes us, nobody knows.
They sure don't.
Nobody knows. So don't tell me.
Nobody's came out with a price yet.
Yeah. Don't tell me this is right. Don't tell me it's not. Don't tell me it's going to be bad or good. No one really knows. The saddest part about that is all those numbers are numbers I would probably pay. So. I gotta work a little harder. I gotta, get some more subscriptions.
I really hope people are prepared themselves to know that the game price is gonna go up too. Like,
yeah, video games, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope they realize that. I'm like,
well, the good news is, in a free market, which, video games have been for the most part, maybe even the most savage of all the free markets in the United States, the shit will come down if you wait.
That's all.
Like, the way shit is coming out now, it's really fucking insane.
You can't have games be $70 if they're all good, because we're just all gonna wait and be backed up anyway. So game prices could conceivably go up, but at some point or the other, they don't have nearly enough demand to be able to pull a fast one on us like that. I don't think.
I think they're gonna go up. When I say go up, I'm talking about maybe like a few bucks. Like,
right.
Start for like maybe $65, $69.99 or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. Since they didn't
to begin with, and I think they'll come down once those other game, once the top
games. I'm real talk. You make me pay $900 for a console, and then $70 for a game, and then $60 for a controller. I'm like, I still have Xbox 360 games I can play at any point.
Until they get to a point where they destroy the used game market, that they're pretty much fucked. Like. Uh-huh. That 10 extra dollars won't make a huge difference, especially at the beginning, because everyone's going to be so excited. But all those people that wait like a year to buy one are going to be looking at those launch titles like, that shit better not be $70 no more.
Ain't that the truth?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Karen.
No, he was saying, yeah, because that's how a lot of people are going to do. That's like, I waited, and your top selling game should be dropping in price. So when I come in, I don't mind buying the second or third version of, let's say, Call of Duty. You sell a billion copies of it, it shouldn't be $70.
Yeah, I fully believe that it'll be expensive on launch day.
Yes.
But especially once they start phasing out making 360 games and PS3 games, mm-hmm. then the price will come down.
Yeah, like, it's just natural. It's like, yeah. There's no other market that does supply and demand like video games. It's crazy. I don't know how people, like, if the shit wasn't like all profit on that resale margin shit, man, I don't know how, like, GameStop would get by, because it, like, if the shit was really like, look, we pay $20 and then we sell it for $25, they'd be out of business.
Right.
Of course.
All right, another thing, which is fucking stupid, this more news. LAPD faced off with the Call of Duty statue in front of a game studio.
Wait. Mm-hmm. What? The statue rob the GameStop?
No. The game...
Did it have hostages?
No. The game studio is in front of the offices of Robotaki, which apparently does, like, character models and stuff like that for video games.
Okay.
So they have a life-sized, like, Call of Duty action figure that's, like, holding a gun out in front of their students, in front of their studio. Is Simon Ghost Riley, is from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, and it startled some people who worked there, because the fucking police came guns drawn and faced off with it like it was a hostage situation while some employees were inside like, what the fuck is going on? So, and I, you know what? I hate to do this, guys, but I gotta blame Obama.
Oh, wow.
Everybody knows I support the president 100% on everything except this one. Well, this, and of course, we never got the death panels that I was promised. So old people get to keep living for now. But, But, this video game is worse than gun shit. Gotta stop.
Yeah, like, dude.
No more studies. Let's work on getting the guns out of people's hands who are crazy, and not the let's crack down on the video game studios.
So what happened? When it was like, freeze! Wait a minute, he had moved in 5 minutes.
It's like, he's complying.
Wrong.
He's complying, but he's not.
Yes! Yes, that's how it would be.
Freeze! Well, he's got that part down.
Yeah, he's not blinking his eyes. I don't see him sweating.
Put the gun down! He won't put the gun down, though.
Yes!
Dude. But yeah, I want to know who was the dude who approached the statue, and when it didn't move, was just like, oh, guys, you're not going to believe this.
You're not going to believe this, guys.
Boy, is there egg on my face.
I would have just turned and walked into the squad car and drove off without telling anybody anything. Like, where's Freeman gone? Freeman! Captain, where you gone? Fuck.
Like, whoever is the guy who's like, I'm going to need backup, has to be paying for the donuts today, right? Guys, I got a tough one here. I'm gonna need bring the whole squad. Bring the whole squad. This guy's armed for combat, okay, guys? He's like some type of modern warrior or something, man. I need some backup. Another quick tech thing. Google is saying that they will not approve any of the apps that use Google Glass that and recognize people's faces. So the one thing that most people seem to want and not want the most was the facial recognition software, where, hey, I can wear my glasses out and it just pop up, hey, that's Aaron Rand Freeman. Oh, look, there you go. Look at that. There's Chris. That's not going to happen.
Oh, no.
And they won't approve it to happen.
No, because you have so many people suing the hell out of them for that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that
part. I'm just randomly walking around, and all of a sudden, you know my name, my address, my telephone, and I'm popping up in your face. Fuck you. No.
Yeah.
I'm breaking your goggles if you walk up to me and you go, hey, Aaron, I saw your address. I figured I'd just walk around your block until you came out your house. I'm smashing your fucking shit into the ground. You will go to the police station together.
No. and you have to consider stalkers. You have to consider, you know, rapists. You, I mean, I'm trying to be funny. It's like people act like everybody have good intentions. Everybody not going to have good intentions with these glasses.
Yeah.
Yo, Google, like, what I love about Google is they really are fucking Skynet, yo.
Yeah.
They're fucking Skynet ass motherfuckers.
And at the end of this, y'all, it says for now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They will do this, but at some point.
When you guys are working, paying attention, we'll just go and slide that one in there.
They're working on the legalese or something, or they're being like, look, we just need to be the app that does it. Like, we don't want every app to do it. And we're going to make everyone log into their Google Plus accounts and click something to stay off the database or something. Like, they're not going to just give this away.
No, or you know what? When they do launch it, they're not going to tell anybody. You're not going to hear a press release. It's going to be one of those options that, you know, when you click and you like refresh, it's going to be one of them check uncheck box and you're going to automatically be signed in.
Oh, no, it's just going to say, do you agree?
Yeah.
And you're going to go, what? And you're going to click to see what it is. It's going to be 75 pages of text and you're going to go, fuck it, I agree.
You know what's going to happen? You know what America need to do? We need to all agree that if you get Google last, just tase a person. As all Americans in all states, if someone walks up to you and identifies you and you don't know who they are and they're wearing their goggles, just tase them in the chest. In the chest, and then you walk away. As are the American people, we would prefer not to be identified by robot technology.
Yeah.
By cybernetic technology. We'd rather not.
Like, and I remember listening to We Nerd Hard when you guys first started talking about the idea of people wearing Google Glass and it being here. And Fanon Bennett was like, I don't want people like just being in a bar recording me or seeing my face or trying to like put, you know, like who knows what's going on in there. And it's kind of my business. I think Elon and a couple guys like, well, it's a public space. Just don't do anything in public that you don't want people to see. I'm like,
that's not the point.
Everybody does shit in public that they don't necessarily want seen. And, you know, that, like, and also, like, there's certain shit that isn't shameful, but you don't want to advertise it. Like, say you have an open marriage or something, and, it's between you and your partner. So maybe you're on a date with, whoever your person is that you're dating on the side. That might be on the front of fucking, Twitter when you get home, like, at Rodimus Prime. Kissing some other woman last night. Here's a picture. Saw him on Google Plus. And it's like, well, now do I have to tell the world I have an open marriage? Like, is that the thing? Because I'm not, I'm not ashamed, it's not your fucking business. You know? And I guarantee there's a ton of examples of shit where you're just like, well, that's just not anyone's business if I want to sit around eating pie at 4 a.m.
Yep.
And crying. Like, if that's not your business to be able to walk into the diner and go, oh, posting you on Facebook, you know? Like,
as Americans, we need to police each other. If you see someone Google glassing someone, zooming in too hard, hitting all the buttons on the diodes on the cell phone, and you see the glasses zooming in and out, you just fucking take the glasses, smash it into the ground. People need to be, I feel like Americans are gonna have to eventually police each other in this matter. And it's actually going to be fairly ugly and humorous.
I think we should start this campaign, Aaron, and I agree with you. We need to call it See Something, Tase Something. you see something, tase the shit out of person. Now this is something that, as much as I'm an advocate for leaving the government out of our video games, I'll put this in a Skype chat if you guys want to see it, but, there's a guy who's trying to make a video game controller that looks exactly like a real gun.
Why?
Come on, man.
What's the point of that? So you can get somebody killed?
Just come on, man. Like, I like his idea, which is if you play a first person shooter, you can hold the gun yourself and he's going to intuitively do stuff. Like if you look down the scope, it'll look down the scope in a video game.
Okay.
And if you're like, if you lean forward, then you're walking forward. If you lean to the side, you're walking to, you know, you just lean the gun in the direction you like to go. I really like that. But why does it have to look exactly like a real game? Like, you don't...
Yeah, why
you
can't it be neon yellow or crazy color?
Just follow the law and make it orange, and I'm 100% behind you. But this shit is going to get somebody fucking shot with a real gun or something, man.
Yes, it is.
So, oh, God. Yeah, someone's going to, like, paint this shit or... I mean, like... Because you already have people that'll paint the fake guns anyway, but that's illegal. But you're going to really have somebody, like, fucking... go out with this shit in public and end up arrested or something.
Yeah, try to rob somebody with this fake ass gun.
Yeah, but he's got a Kickstarter campaign. He's trying to get $100,000 and he's trying to get he wants to mass produce this fucking gun. You know, good luck, bro, but please paint the shit orange or red or something. All right. I do not want to be reading about my friends, because I have the kind of dumbass friends that'll go do this. Like, this shit looks like a gun, man. I gotta have it. I'm like, okay, dude, don't ever have the cops stop by.
Yeah, because they're gonna arrest you as soon as you have weapons.
Yeah, good luck getting it home, dude. Just good luck getting it home from the store.
Good luck with that, sir. Good luck.
Hey, man, we got six big black dudes carrying fucking AK-47s.
What could possibly go wrong?
With silencer scopes and scopes on them. I'm sure it'll be okay. I'm sure it'll be all right. They asked some developers about the Xbox One and what they thought. And a lot of people had good things to say. I only want to highlight this one guy though, who, I thought was like funny and exemplifies the typical like nerd stance that, I think most people have about when we hear stuff like this. He goes, let's see. I heard more marketing buzzwords than I expected to. I heard a lot about the living room and the TV being super important, which seemed weird given that this was a game console. Then there was a bunch more marketing talk telling me how great my end user experience would be. Never again would I need to switch sources. Then I heard I would get to talk to my console to turn it on, which I'd frankly not do. I do enough embarrassing shit in the course of a day. Talking to my console is one step too far. By the way, that is like my number one selling point of why I want one.
Yeah.
So I, like, me and this guy already don't relate, but like, that was the, like, step off the ledge. Like, dude, we can't be on the same team. Cause,
no.
I've fantasized about talking to Kit since I fucking first saw Knight Rider. So, if, like, the second I get me a car where I could just be like, so what, where are we going today? Kit, you know, I can't wait. I just hope my Xbox to have customizable voices so I can be like,
Microsoft fucked up so bad with the way they literally could have changed everyone. They just slightly off. I'm just thinking about it. Just slightly off and letting everybody fall into that hole. I want games. So much games. Yeah. Only games trope, which they just missed it. Just rimmed out.
Yeah. You know, I really think, it's going to be till E3 till they can fix that. If
you know what bothers me about this? It's like people that complain about movies that they're gonna see, like,
well, hold on, let me finish, Chris, because I promise you this is gonna be good.
Oh God.
He said, then the games. I thought everything looked over filtered and CG. Call of Duty was the best of the bunch, no real standouts except the dog. The dog was my big takeaway.
Sorry.
I heard nothing about making self-publishing on the platform easier, nothing about indie or online strategy, nothing about always on. I also little about why we, the gamers, should not worry about the fact that in the age of iPads and iPhones and mobile everything, where most of us watch their conference not on TV but on our phone or laptop, that their strategy seems to run counter to our user consumption patterns. So I just got to say right there, though, that what could they possibly do to make you buy their console and if you have I like watching things on my laptop. That's actually their competition. There's no way for them to fix that issue. Mm-mm. Other than please watch it on your Xbox instead. But my favorite line, last line, but I will still buy one, smiley face.
You fucking asshole.
Yeah, that guy's being a dick and a half, dude.
You fucking asshole.
That's why I said don't really. It's my favorite. I read all the responses, but that was my favorite one because I was like, Yeah, that's about right, man. Like, fuck you. Fuck you for making me pay for this. Fuck you for this, the way you presented it to me. Fuck you for, yeah, I'll probably get one. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually going to get one day one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm actually going to buy two.
Look at my username.
Stand in line overnight.
Yeah. Rodimus Prime 7525. Just look me up. I'll be on there. So, but I thought that was awesome. Now let's get to some real fuck you news. Now here's my, I'm going to go see this, but I know that it's going to suck. Ninja Turtles. every week it seems like they add something else to tell me not to see it. It's like they are fucking with me literally at this point. Like, yeah, you love these motherfuckers growing up, didn't you? Like, yeah, man, my favorite color is red. Raphael's the best Ninja Turtle. Yeah, man, I bet you used to draw Ninja Turtles all day, didn't you? Dude, I got a fucking entire art book full of me just drawing Ninja Turtles doing kick ass fighting. Oh, I bet you owned all the graphic novels. Yes, Eastman and Lear, dude, that, oh God, of course I own them. I watched all the cartoons. Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg has been cast in Michael wow. Bay's Ninja Turtles movie.
We for real about this?
Last week was Megan Fox, April O'Neil. This week, Whoopi Goldberg.
Wait, you're serious?
Yes.
Yeah, she's going to play the boss of Megan Fox's character, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this movie's gonna be terrible.
They go Oscar winner Whoopi Goldberg. Man, fuck you, Michael Bay.
What, Sist Act 2?
Fuck you, man. And I'm still gonna see this shit because I can't help myself. I can't. I'm an addict.
Nah, I don't want that. Don't me.
It won't be good. There's literally the everything that leaks about this movie is like a kick in the nuts. There's not one thing that has leaked. Do you understand how improbable that is to hear something like 20 different facts about something and each one go makes you go, no?
No, you know what the great thing about this is? So I think in anticipation of this news, either before or after the announcement of Whoopi Goldberg, they then had one of the creators of the Ninja Turtles or one of the guys who wrote the comics or something like that came out and said, no, Michael Bay's being really respectful of the material.
Yes, I remember that.
I'm like,
he is.
That's not a good sign.
No.
I went and read that whole, like, conversation they had. They were trolling like shit, man. It was like the quotes were too perfect. Where it's like, oh no, we feel like Michael is really gonna appreciate the source material. And, then the person was asking, like, well, he's saying they're not even gonna be teenagers or mutants or possibly even turtles. He's like, Yeah. Wait. We have a lot of alien things in the book, so it's really good that he's showing respect.
I'm gonna level with you guys that I know zero about the movie because when I said Michael Bay, I just turned my brain off. Wait, they're not going to be teenagers or turtles?
They're not gonna possibly. They're not gonna be teenagers or mutants or turtles. They're gonna be aliens.
I feel like in the production meetings, Michael Bay is like impossible white man. Like, what human being in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles production meeting could be like, you know what sucks about this? Teenage Ninja. Both bullshit. Both out. You with me? And everyone's like, let's go, Michael Bay. Great idea, Mr. Bay. Wonderful.
Dude, I'm telling you, as the only person I know that loved the Transformers movies, but I admit that it's only because I'm unreasonable about big-ass robots fighting. You will never, I will never defend them as good movies, ever. I won't even tell you that Michael Bay did a good job, and I can think of 10 different ways to do it better. 10!
I always thought Transformers would be great. If they called it Robot Battle Opera Volumes 1, 2, and 3, the movie would have been fucking superb.
Yeah, but they called
it Transformers, and it's fucking up right there, calling it Transformers, because that's not Transformers, but it's Robot Battle.
Just play the High Noon game, dog.
Well, the thing about the Transformers movies was, it's like, Michael Bay, you do one thing really well. You do action, ridiculous action, really well. Okay, cool. So why do you keep cutting to people who can't act?
Right.
With corny ass jokes.
Oh God.
Stick to what you know.
Every Transformer movie is 45 minutes too long. Everyone.
Yes, it is.
I still want to do that Chris cut where I take Transformers 3.
Yes.
And cut out 40 minutes of it. Just so it can be a good movie. Cause that fucking highway scene, still one of the best action scenes I've seen.
Hey man, you know, I buy Transformer movies on Blu-ray for that, like to be like, oh good, I can finally control it.
Yeah.
And go, oh, Kim Jong is in this? Skip. Like, no. you really need to get a boyfriend, a girlfriend, Sam. Skip.
Right. That, yo, that, I mean, I'm serious. That whole, that's what made me so mad about Transformer 3. I remember going to the theater. I think we went to a midnight show, me and Kev. And I saw that fucking highway scene, and I was leaning on the edge of my seat going, fuck yes. This is fucking awesome. Then immediately after that, after, what was it, Sentinel Prime turn on everybody and things like that, they immediately cut to Sam's parents making masturbation jokes.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn it, Michael Bay. God damn it. Yes. You had me.
Why do you hate me?
You had an awesome fucking scene. And you fucking ruined it.
Chris, now, but for the record, I love Transformers so much. I was on a high between the 20-minute joke shit.
Yeah.
It's like it never happened. I leave movies. It's like I don't remember Kim Jong being in that movie, man. I remember Optimus Prime losing an arm and then killing Megatron with one fucking arm and an axe.
Right.
Yes. That's what I remember. Like,
yeah, you forget the wingsuit scene for no fucking reason.
Yeah. You know what? Wingsuit scene, one of the better scenes, dude. Why?
Because I actually didn't mind it.
Yeah.
Like, why are you guys doing this?
Right. Cause Michael Bay can film action. Like it was little shit was good. Like where it's like, yo, let's hop out this wingsuit shit for no fucking reason that we can think of, other than wingsuits are cool. And I was like, oh, look, they're flying through Chicago and mechs are going to fight them. Like that. I was cool with that.
I also love that all of a sudden now, wait, you mean their weak spot is their eyes?
Yeah, right.
When did this fucking happen?
Come on, dog.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Megatron has like, AIDS the whole movie, man.
Yo, I don't know what that was about. What bugged me. I don't even care that he had AIDS. Why did he need a shawl? Why was he
right?
Cold? Like, he couldn't be, he was cold. He's sensitive to the elements. He had to cover his face. He's cold and shivering and coughing. Fuck you are, robot!
He was vain and shit. He's like, I need my scarf. My face has been bruised.
Do you actually have this on your agenda? The photos they've released for some of the new vehicle modes for some of the Transformers 4?
No, did not have it. I saw it and then was like, oh, I better not click it because...
I mean...
this is going to sound fucked up, but I better not click it because I want to see the movie. And
I don't have any real problem with, because they just show the vehicles.
Okay.
So one of them was like a concept car for there's two new ones. One's a concept car for like a Corvette. A Bumblebee is now going to be, I think, an older model Camaro.
Oh, Camaro. Okay.
Like a hot rod Camaro. And then there's a new design for Optimus Prime's like a new paint design for his truck. That's all they showed for that right now.
Okay. Yeah. That's the one movie I'm avoiding seeing shit leak because I know I'm gonna see it, and the only way it can be good is if I don't know anything going in. Cause every time I learn something about Michael Bay movie, it's bad, man. It's bad. Like, although the one thing that did leak that I was like, okay, was I think Mark Wahlberg's taking over for, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Good. Shia LaBeouf was terrible in those movies. Yes. Only in the first one, when he's supposed to be a goofy kid, was good. When he's supposed to be an 18-year-old, he's really like 30. But after that, it was just like, dude, you're a fuck up. Get your life together. You fucking saved the earth twice, and you still can't get a job.
Not only that, but you have a hot girlfriend, and you're still whining like a bitch.
Yeah. Like, I can't support you as a character.
Right. The first movie, I'm like, the first movie was the one that's tolerable to me because I'm like, okay, it has some issues, but I'm like, you're just getting started. And I'm like, as a kid, I'm like, okay, that makes sense that you can't get the girl, you're the nerd. Next two movies, dude, you have the hot girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the reason why you're going, oh, this is why nerds don't get girls.
Yeah.
Yo, and then,
that's right.
The other thing too is like, they just set you up for like the coon bots in the second one and shit. It's too much racist. Bad shit.
We don't be the reading bots.
It's almost like at the first movie, people complained about, remember how people complained about Jazz and he was, how he was, he had like the hip hop talk and stuff like that. And Michael Bay was like, oh, so you want me to be really racist? Or let me show you how racist I can really be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt, man.
G.I. Joe, something that needs racism. No racism. Transformers doesn't need any racism at all. Just some British robots. Complete and total racism.
Good point. And like I said, I'm biased. I will go see all these. Like, I'm not even going to pretend. I'm not full of shit, people. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm telling you now. My opinion will be not valid on these movies. And I understand. So don't ask me what I thought about these movies. Cause I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to go, I liked it. It's shit from when I was 10 on screen with $1 million budget. I just fucking like it. Like, and it's terrible. It's very terrible. Whoopi Goldberg. Thanks, guys. The last story I had was, there's a company called Meta that has a Kickstarter campaign for Kinect headgear, where instead of the Kinect being pointed at you, you strap the Kinect to your face and do things.
Okay. Well, good for them.
That sounds like an accident waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. Wait, the Kinect is supposed to, isn't it supposed to monitor a body movements of a human?
Yes.
Then if it's strapped to your face, then what is it doing?
Supposed to show you what's going on through the lenses of the Kinect.
For what purpose, may I ask?
I don't know. It's just a Kickstarter for $100,000. It says, Meta One is not just a pop-up in the corner of your eye allowing limited access to computer applications. No, it is a shield that traps you in a world of virtual reality. Reads the Kickstarter campaign, making clear references to Google Glass and Oculus Rift. So they're basically saying, like, you put them on and then, like, you turn to your left and you see this 3D world.
You know what? I think some people are just doing Kickstarter campaigns to get free money.
I agree, Chris. I agree. And this is why I look at Roderick sideways when people have these Kickstarters for dumb shit and they hit their goals. And I'm looking at him like, nigga, when we get a chance, we need to get shit together and people need to give us money because there's a lot of shit that we want to do too.
Right. Because I don't understand.
Right. I just, like, how do you make this work? Because everything I know about Kinect functionality says it can't do this.
Stupid.
Like, literally, it's not what it does. At the
peak of my powers, when I'm a multi-billionaire, I'm going to invite people who hone these Kickstarters to my office to have them roughed up by security and thrown out of my office. That's all.
For no reason.
Like, I think it's a great idea. Come meet me at this such and such time. At 2 in the afternoon, I'll have them come to my office, have them explain it to me, and then call for security, and they'll push up, rough them up in the ribs, and then throw them out like DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Hey, the key to that idea, Aaron, is like once every 100 times, you have to actually fund it. You know what I mean? Like one out of every 100 projects, you're like, you know what? Actually, it would be good if someone could make an anti-HIV pill. You should do that. And I'll give you the money. But then the next guy comes in, you're like, so you want to make a Google Glass, where you can watch amateur porn and it tells you the people who are in it?
Yes.
Have this man escorted out.
Immediately. Security.
Yeah. Security. You guys know what to do. Install one of those pits right in front of your desk that you always see in cartoons.
Oh, that would be cool. They drop down.
I would have a head fake pit. I would have a button that opens up the floor in front of the dude. Like, nah, I'm kidding. My guards though, they're gonna wrap you up pretty good, gentlemen. I'm gonna drop you in a pit. That's crazy.
Oh man, but yeah, that. So that just I've had that on the agenda for like 3 weeks, and each week I've got to it and went, I don't understand how this works. This is bullshit. But for the first time, I was just like, you know what, guys? You tell me if you get it. And everybody's like, nope, it sounds like bullshit.
I mean, you said you didn't get it. I was listening to it. I was like, the fuck?
I've read that article 6 times. I'm not joking. I've read that article every time before we did a Nerd Off. It was like, nah, what? Maybe
that
someone
makes
else
no
will.
Sense.
Someone will back this up with some other source and never. Just nonsense. Well, this has been another Nerd Off, of course. You guys can check out the rest of the shows on blackout.tips/premium. And you can also go check out Insanity Check Podcast. You know, the latest episode is one of the best episodes ever, in my opinion, man.
Yes, sir.
We just talking about.
It was just real, man. It was just two dudes who were frustrated and angry and being just as open and fresh and honest as possible.
Yeah, it was good, man. And I came in there and got some comments in the chat room. Yeah. Someone actually direct messaged me today and was like, this latest episode of Insanity Check could be like a study of, it could be a study of like the male, ego or some shit like that. Or like, and I was like, what are you talking about? But it was like the shrinks would have a field day with it, was what they said. And so I replied back like, what episode? And it's like, oh wait, never mind, you were there. I just heard you were in the chat room. Oh shit. I was like, I'm a fan of those dudes, man. I don't know what to tell you.
What got me about it was, I'm like, it's not even like it was a real, this is how like normal people react. Like, mm-hmm. You're talking to somebody, you know, you're man or woman, you're talking to somebody and you're trying to hit it off, and all of a sudden they just disappear from life. It's like, because I was talking to, we went out the other night, and I was talking to Phenom about it. And I was like, Phenom, let me explain to you how this works. I started asking him a bunch of questions. He started asking me, and I just walked off. This is exactly what happened to me. Yeah. Like, I'm having a back and forth conversation, and I'm gone next. And yeah. I'm like, I don't know anybody who is who's the same person who wouldn't be kind of affected by it. Like, was it something I said? Like,
yes.
Did I do that? Like, it's just it's a normal thing, and I actually think that we're gonna keep doing it. Like, I'm now gonna stay on the site. I'm gonna continue to do it. If I get dates, I'm actually just gonna be open and just tell people what happened, Joe. Because it's like, this shit is comedy, man. It's fucking comedy.
It's awesome, man. Nobody ever talks about it. It feels like one of those things everyone seems to be ashamed to talk about. Like, I'm online dating. I don't want to. You know what, man? You need to do that. I want to listen to it.
The crazy thing about it was, like, me and Kevin have been doing this for a while, but neither one of us told each other because we were ashamed about it.
Yeah.
And I was so frustrated on Thursday that I was on Twitter and I just started typing how frustrated I was. And not only did Kevin go, yo, dude, that shit should happen to me. Men and women both all hitting me with the timeline going, yo, he's so right. Yo, okay, Cupid's terrible. Yeah, I'm on that site. I can never. I'm like, wait, so we're all doing the same fucking thing here?
That's absolutely. That's actually awesome to hear, man. Honestly. That's cool. And yeah, you should keep it going because you also make it funny. So it would be much better than someone just going, guys, another person turned me down today. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear a funny version, guys. So, and of course, man, like, don't forget the legendary Aaron Rand Freeman. You got to go check him out. Just go to Twib anything.
Yeah, anything.
And he's there. That's pretty much the way I would suggest you do it.
Yep.
Matter of fact, just follow Elon James White on Twitter, and anything you click on, Aaron is involved in too. Like, yes. That's just kind of the best way to get into what's going on with Aaron. So, and thanks both of you guys for even coming out and doing this,
yes,
man.
Thank you.
You know, I enjoy talking nerd shit with you guys, all the time. So you guys obviously know open-ended invite. So anytime you want to be on, just let me know.
Love it.
All right, man. So until next week, guys, nerd out. Peace.